prospering during famine, or fruitfulness during famine, if you want another title. As you well know, this year is a year of fruitfulness. And by His grace, we have been very fruitful in various ways. We've had testimonies of people getting jobs. We've had testimonies of people having babies. We've had various testimonies. And, you know, of recent, there's been a terminology, credit crunch, that you've been reading and hearing in the papers, you know. But I just want you to, I want to lay some things in your spirit and share a couple of things with you. If you turn your Bibles with me to the book of Genesis chapter 26, and we'll take it from there. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. Lord, I thank you for this morning, even as we're about to open your word and begin to share. I ask, oh God, that you speak your word, oh God. Lord, let it come forth with power. Let it come forth with your anointing in the name of Jesus. Lord, let it cause an activation of the faith of your people in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you. We give you all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The book of Genesis chapter 26, verse 1. I just want to read from there. The Bible says in the book of Genesis 26, verse 1, it says, there was a famine in the land, besides the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went to Abimelech, king of the Philistines in Gerar. Then the Lord appeared to him and said, do not go down to Egypt. Note that. God told him, do not go down to Egypt. Live in the land of which I shall tell you. Notice that. God said, don't go down to Egypt, but live where I tell you. And then he goes on to say, dwell in this land, and I will be with you and bless you. For to you and your descendants, I give all this land, and I'll perform the oath which I swore to Abraham your father. And I will make your descendants multiply as the stars of heaven. I will give to your descendants all this land, and in your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. Because Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. Verse 6. So Abraham, also Isaac, I beg your pardon, dwelt in Gerar. And then let's jump to verse 12. So he was in there, in the land God told him to. And then the Bible says, then Isaac sowed. You need to underline sowed. He sowed in that land. He said he sowed in that land and reaped in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him. The man began to prosper and continued prospering until he became very prosperous, for he had possessions of flocks and possessions of herds and a great number of servants. So the Philistines envied him. I pray they shall envy you because of God's blessing. Yeah. That God's blessing upon your life shall be so much that the unbelievers shall see it and say, who is your God? That they shall envy you because God has so blessed you and you have prospered, not just materially, not just in wealth, but that your spirit shall prosper in Jesus' name. Your soul shall prosper in the name of Jesus. Your health shall prosper in the name of Jesus. Your family shall be prosperous in the name of Jesus. It says that, so the Philistines envied him. Verse 15, now the Philistines had stopped up all the wells which his father's servants had dug in the days of Abraham, his father, and it goes on and on. But let's jump, because of time, to verse 22. And they moved from there and dug another well. So he will dig the well, they will block it because of envy. And he moved from there and dug another well, and they did not quarrel over it. So he called its name Rehoboth, because he said, for now the Lord has made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land. You need to declare over yourself right now that in the name of Jesus, God will make room for me. Speak it over your life right now. God will make room for me, and I will be fruitful in this land. Say, I will be fruitful in this land. God will make room for me, and I will be fruitful in every respect in this land. In the name of Jesus, so it shall be for you in Jesus' name. Our second scripture reading this morning is taken from the book of Psalm 1. Psalm 1, verse 3. Psalm 1. Psalm 1. Let me read from verse 1, actually. It says, Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. Notice that. He first talks about what he does not do. Then he talks about what he should be doing. He says his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither. And whatever he does, he shall prosper. Whatever you do, you will prosper according to God's will. Whatever you do according to God's will, you will prosper in it in the name of Jesus. You know, you cannot open the newspapers or listen to the news these days without hearing the word credit crunch. You find out that the credit is crunching everyone from right to left and left to right. Industries are being crushed. Organizations are being crushed. You open the papers, you listen to the news, you either hear about one organization making people redundant or the other. It is without a shadow of doubt that there is a famine in the nations of the world right now. And as the famine is happening, fear has gripped a lot of people. You find that a lot of people have the fear of unemployment. People have the fear of losing their homes, the fear of debt, the fear of various things, losing their cars. I mean, fear has gripped the whole nation, not just this nation, but the whole world. In fact, the fear has so gripped that even the leaders do not know what to do anymore. The current economic situation has confounded the so-called experts. The economic experts it's overturned their theories. You find out that it has defied all the theories they have about the economy. So this day, they wake up one day and say, we'll spend our way out of the recession. And then some other day, they'll wake up and say, we'll reduce taxes. And then after that, they will reduce interest rates. And then we'll do this, we'll do that. They just don't know what to do. It has confounded all forms of theory. And get this, I want you to understand something, that God is aware of what's happening. You know, the leaders of the world are in a state of perplexity. They are in a state of numbness, I'll call it. They don't have a clue of what to do right now. You know, I was listening to the news last week, and I heard that a meeting of G20 leaders would be happening in Washington this weekend. Now, I have heard of the G7. I've heard of the G8. But G20, where did that come from? Now, the G20 is made up of, apparently, some leaders of countries like Mexico, Japan, South Africa, countries that you would never think of, India, and they are bringing them together to Washington to come and discuss the economic situation and finding a solution to it. Doesn't that tell you that the leaders don't know what they're doing? They don't know what to do about what's happening. Am I speaking to someone this morning? You know, during the good times, we hear about the G7 and G8 and all those sort of things. But now that things are tight, they've G20. You know, when I read it, I thought, G20. Which one is that again? I was thinking, how come my country is not part of the G20? And they are coming together to try to discuss or find solutions to the biggest financial crisis in decades. And, you know, it's quite interesting. It's ironical. In fact, the title of this message is an oxymoron, if you think of it. Because here we are talking about a famine and we are saying prospering during famine. How is that possible? How can you prosper when there's famine? Because famine means lack. It means there's not enough. And we are talking about prospering means having more than enough. Fruitfulness means that profiting. And we are talking about that during famine. So that sounds a bit contradictory. And you know, let me lay the background. The first thing you need to understand is famine is nothing new in the world. It is nothing new. If you go through the Bible, you find out that it happened during Abraham's time. There was a famine. I'll show you very soon. It happened during Isaac's days that we just read in Genesis 26. It happened when Joseph was alive. It happened during Ruth's days. When Ruth was alive, there was a famine. The Bible says that now there was a famine in the days of Ruth or Naomi. And what happened? The certain man, Abimelech, he went with his family to live among the Moabites or something like that. There was a famine. So it is nothing new. Now, if something has happened in the past and God is aware of it and it's in the Bible, then it means that the solution must be somewhere in here. Am I speaking to somebody? The solution for us must be somewhere in the Bible, because if it's happened in times past, then God must have something to say about it. Amen? Amen. Now, first of all, God is very much aware of what's happening. I'm not going to spend too much time, lay too much emphasis. But if we try to deny that there is a famine or the credit crunch, we will be saying that we are living in cuckoo land. It is affecting everybody. One way or the other, it's affecting my pocket, because every time I go to the stores and I see the prices of things, I'm like, but it does not mean that it should affect my decisions. And it should not affect my family. Am I speaking to someone? You see, if you study the Bible carefully, one thing I've noticed in the Bible is that every time there's a famine, God always takes care of his people. He always sorts those that serve him sincerely and have a relationship with him. He sorts them out one way or the other. During the days of Joseph, there was a famine, but he provided a Goshen for his people. He always, during the days of Ruth, he found a way of providing for them. And one of the things you'll find out is that anytime there's a famine, there are opportunities that abound. In fact, I would put it this way: opportunities always abound during famine. For those that are discerning, for those that are sensitive to the word of God, and for those that have an ear to hear what God is saying in the spirit, opportunities to prosper are available during a famine. Opportunities to reach out to other people, opportunities for ministry, opportunities to trust God to act on your behalf, opportunities for your faith to be increased. There are lots of opportunities. In fact, it is one of the times that you should be able to seize the opportunities available. I think it was last year that I did a series on opportunities. You know, I had to recognize opportunities and various things. We have a pack out there that has been put together for it. But the point I'm trying to make is that opportunities abound during this season. Listen to me. It is said that in Chinese language, the word crisis means dangerous opportunities. Now, the paper said that we are in a world of financial crisis. In fact, the way it's put it, I was reading in the newspaper recently, it says that the greatest financial crisis in decades is what's happening. That means there must be financial opportunities. You see, at this point in time, there are opportunities to reach out to those that are hurting, that don't know what to do in the world. Because there are a lot of people that are depressed. It's an opportunity for ministry. It is an opportunity to encourage someone. It's an opportunity to tell somebody about Jesus Christ. It's an opportunity to put your arms around somebody and say, I'm there for you. Am I speaking to somebody here? Opportunities abound. Somebody say opportunities. We are living in a season of opportunities. As the world economies are in a crisis, we as Christians, we need to understand that we are now in a season of opportunities. And we need to begin to see the opportunities. Now, let me begin to talk about how we can prosper during this period. And when I talk about prospering, I don't mean just in terms of material things. You know, one of the things I have against, that rubs me off is whenever Christians hear prosperity, the first thing they think of is money. And prosperity is much more than money. Prosperity is wholesome. It's about your whole being. So when I talk about prospering during famine, I'm not just talking about money alone. Money is part of it, yes, but it's a minute part of it. I mean, Paul said to me, he said, brethren, I wish you would prosper as your soul prospers. So there's something about prosperity of the soul. Amen? Let's move on. The Bible makes us to understand that there was a famine, during Abraham's time. Now, listen to me. During Abraham's time, there was a famine. But let's look at what Abraham did during his time. Genesis 12, verse 10. Genesis 12, 10. Are we there? The Bible says, now there was a famine in the land, and Abraham went down to Egypt to dwell there, for the famine was severe in the land. So during the famine of Abraham's time, listen to me, he went to Egypt. But notice, in Genesis 26 that we read earlier, the Bible tells us in Genesis 26 verse in verse 2, it says, God appeared to Isaac and said, do not go down to Egypt. Now, what's the point here? God specifically instructed Isaac that during this famine happening, don't go down to Egypt. Listen to me. The first point you need to understand is that during this period, in order to prosper and be fruitful, you do not follow tradition. In order to be fruitful and to prosper, you don't follow what others are doing. In order to be fruitful and prosper during this period, you don't follow what somebody, your friends, did before. During Abraham's time, the Bible says that God he went down to Egypt. So God must have permitted him to go down to Egypt. But for Isaac, God specifically said, do not go down to Egypt. That means that Isaac must have been thinking of going down to Egypt. Where did he learn it? He must have realized that, hey, during my father's time, he went to Egypt. So let me go to Egypt and get sorted out. But God specifically, listen to me, this is a month of open heavens. Now, if Isaac had not heard God, he would have gone down to Egypt. Now, when we talk about open heavens, it's about getting revelation, getting words from God, preparing for next year. The challenges next year is going to be greater than this year. And that's the truth. But it is those that listen and not necessarily follow what everybody is doing or the tradition that will prosper. If Isaac had gone down to Egypt, the probability, and I use the word probability because the Bible does not tell us so, but the probability is that he may have died in Egypt, one, or he may have become insignificant. We may never have heard of him again in the Bible. But God said, do not go down to Egypt. Specific. During this period, you should spend time seeking God's face. People are selling their shares. Seek God's face. Buy this one. People are not buying properties. Seek God's face. People are being made redundant. Seek God's face. It might just be that you get a new job, and as you get it, I'm not talking about in Jesus' name, that won't happen to those that just got jobs. It might just be you get a new job, a month after you get it, they start making people redundant. Seek God's face. God said, do not go. Am I speaking to someone this morning? Yes. I'm not sure I'll be able to finish this message this morning, but it says, do not go down to Egypt. And then the next thing that God said is that, and I will be with you. No. He said that, live in the land of which I shall tell you. So the first thing is, don't follow tradition. The second thing is that you want to stay where you are planted. Listen to me. God said, live in the land of which I tell you. Once God tells you to live somewhere, it means he has planted you there. And unless he plants you, you'd better not uproot yourself. Unless God tells you otherwise, you'd better not uproot yourself. He said that, live in the land of which I tell you. Get this. Your prosperity is tied to the land where God puts you. Your prosperity is tied to, listen to me, when I'm talking about the land being planted somewhere, it is not just being planted in a physical location. So physical, in terms of, it could be a job, that's one, place of work, church, ministry, various things. But where God plants you, the ministry, what God tells you to do, where he has, listen to me, turn with me to Psalm 1. In the book of Psalm 1, that we read earlier, watch this. Am I blessing somebody this morning? Psalm 1. The Bible says something. It says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel. So it first talks about, it starts talking about the man that is blessed. And then it talks about what he should not do. And then it talks about what he should do. But let's focus on verse 3. It says, it shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever it does shall prosper. What is it that makes him prosper? First of all, not doing the things he should not do, then doing meditating on the word of God, and then being planted by the rivers of living water. When you are planted by the rivers of living water, it means that you are planted where nourishment is coming forth. Now, nourishment, your nourishment will only come to you where God plants you. Oh my goodness, I think I'm preaching good. Your nourishment will only come where God has planted you. You see, once you are planted somewhere, you can be certain that all the resources that you need are already there. In the book of Genesis, Exodus 23, let me show you. Exodus 23. Exodus 23, where is it now? Where is it? Exodus 23, verse 20. God told the Israelites something. He said that, behold, I send an angel before you to keep you in the way and to bring you into the place which I have prepared for you. What does that mean? When God wants to plant you somewhere, he plants you somewhere. He has prepared a place for you. It means he has sent angels before you to prepare that place for you where he wants you to be planted. Now, if he plants you somewhere and you uproot yourself, it means that you have uprooted yourself from where he has prepared for you. You see, if your boss offends you, you'd better stay in the job. Unless God tells you to move. If your pastor offends you, go. I'm only joking. You'd better stay. I love you. I won't offend you anyway. But I will. I will. And I don't care. Because God is sharpening you. That's why. God will use me to bring out the snake out of you. The fire in you. You are saying amen. Those that work closely to me will know. Yeah, you guys are. I love you. I'm your pastor. You see me. We smile. But God will bring people your way to try to move you. Or the enemy, not God. The enemy will sometimes bring people your way or use people to try to move you away from where God has planted you. You see, the place of planting is not just physical location. Also in your mind, your attitude, your thinking. Where God has planted you, you'd better remain there. God told Isaac, he said, live in the land, dwell in the land of which I will show you. It means this land where I'm talking to you about, that is where I've prepared for you. And if we look at that in comparison to Psalm 1, it talks about the blessed man. It says the blessed man shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of living water. Once you are planted where nourishment is, it says his leaf shall not wither. You need to get that. When something begins to wither, it means it's dying. It means it's losing life. It means it's diminishing. But when he says that the blessed man, because he's planted by the rivers of living water, where is the living water? Wherever God plants you, he sends the Holy Spirit, he sends the angel before you to prepare the way. So nourishment will be there. He says whatever he does, Whatever you do, where God has planted you, you will prosper. You don't have a choice. You will prosper. You will prosper. Once he has planted you there, you will prosper. Am I speaking to somebody? You know, a lot of people are not planted in the right location. A lot of people are planted. Listen to me. If Ruth had gone to any other field that was not Boaz's own, she may have gotten her source, her food for the day, but she would not have gotten her future. A lot of people plant themselves in a certain location just for the food for the day, but not for their future. And when God plants you, he's not thinking about today. He's thinking about your purpose and your destiny. Oh my goodness, I wish somebody is getting this. Once God prepares a place for you, it is not about your today. It's about your future. That's why he said, I send an angel before you, to prepare the future for you. You see, if your mentality is just about today, you've missed it. If your thinking, if your decisions are based on what you'll eat today, just about today, you've missed it. Your thinking, your future, your thinking, your decisions should be based on the future, the destiny God has for you. Am I speaking to somebody? God told Isaac to dwell in this land. Once you are in the land that God wants you to be, you will shine. You will shine. You don't have a choice but to shine. You know, as much as they are talking about the famine, the credit crunch, we heard a couple of testimonies this morning. You know, the gentleman in the construction industry. He got one or two interviews. He was about to go for it and things, and he spoke to me and said, go for it. He said he hadn't heard God. God had not said yes or no, but he had been. I said, well, go for it. And he mentioned in his own words the best interview he's had. And he was certain he was going to get the job. But God probably still wanted him to be planted where he is. If he had moved on, only God knows, 6 months' time, they may say, thank you, but go. I mean, when you are planted where you are meant to be, there's a gentleman that was sharing with me about a week or two ago. I didn't take his permission, but you'll understand. About a week or two ago, he said his boss called him and said, would he like to become the director of one of their divisions? Now, this is not a ramshackle two-man band organization we are talking about. It is a proper top organization with billions, that deals in billions of pounds. Now the man is planted where God wants him to be for now. I mean, he told his boss that he's an assistant director. He told his boss, no, I'm not ready to start fighting those whatever yet. But the fact that they approached him, when you are planted, even in famine, you will prosper. Oh, dear. You know, this gentleman that just spoke, great. He mentioned he went for an interview in the afternoon. By evening, they called him. He said he had already called his Holy Spirit, told him, call my family for celebration. So it's not the normal labor. Oh. Then he says, that's not his custom. You know that that's an African man. My custom is the real food, not. He called his family for celebration. Listen to me, on a number of occasions, he said, he said he had a dream some time ago. How many years ago? 2 years? Yeah. Over 2 years. He had a dream, and he felt that God was sending him to this church. Abi? Yeah. So he had a dream. So God planted him and moved him here. And since they moved to this church, they have seen their lives change. A couple of weeks ago, he was sharing a testimony. He passed his foundation, Prince 2 Foundation, passed his Prince 2 practitioner within 4 weeks or 6 weeks. That all some people for years. But he's been planted. That's when he said, when I taught the CV, I didn't even know that it made any difference. I prayed on the CV. Not that I didn't know, I mean. But I prayed on the CV. But my praying on the CV is not me. It is the anointing of God upon it. Why? Because it's been planted here. If I'm not meant to be his pastor and I pray on it, nothing may happen. Am I speaking to somebody? What am I saying? When you are planted by the rivers of living water and you are where God wants you to be, you prosper. You prosper in your marketplace. You prosper in your home. You prosper in your education. You prosper. There's no way. You know, let's move on because of time. The Bible says in the book of Genesis 26, we'll stop where we can, wherever we need to stop. Genesis 26. Because of time, let's jump to verse 12. You know, before I move on to verse 12, let me just share something with you. Look at verse 4. Let's read from verse 4. It says, "And I will make your descendants multiply as the stars of heaven. I will give to your descendants all this land, and in your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed." So this is where you dwell. And then, actually, I should have started from verse 3. It says, "Dwell in this land, and I will be with you and bless you, for to you and your descendants I give all this land, and I will perform the oath which I swore to Abraham your father." So he took him back to the generation before him. That based on the covenant I had with Abraham your father. You know, I shared this message at a night vigil on Friday. And I was telling them, in fact, let me use this scenario. If God has planted you in this church, you know that this church has a covenant. Listen to me. The fact you are here and you identify yourself as a member of this church and part of the vision of this church, and you carry the mandate of this vision, and you believe you are planted here. The covenant I have with God, based on that, there are some battles you will not need to fight. There are some blessings that will come your way based on the covenant that God and I have. In fact, let me start, covenant that you have as a son of God, first of all. But let's assume that does not work or is not whatever. The covenant I have with God. Now, let's assume my own covenant with God is not strong enough. Then the history my pastor has with God. And just in case the history my pastor does not has with God is not strong enough, the one that my general overseer of the Redeemed Christian Church of God has with God, one of them will get you your blessing and get you to prosper. You see, there are some things that you get. There are some blessings that you get. There are some favor that will come your way that is not based on what you have done. Not based on what you have said or prayed. But it is based on the covenant of your fathers. Am I speaking to somebody? Listen to me. Years ago, my father was a director in one of the top banks in Nigeria. And I remember when I was in university, far away from where I was living, University of Ife then, when I was in Ife. And the bank had a branch. Now, when I have no money, I would just go to the branch of the bank and tell them I want to see the manager. Manager. Now, people will be queuing and things. And they'll say, "Well, who are you?" I'll just write down my name. Make sure my surname is there. Once he gets to the manager himself would come out and call me and come and take me to his office. It was not based on what I had done. It was not based on who I knew. It was based on my father's covenant in that bank. Am I speaking to somebody? There are some places that you'll enter into, not based on who you are, not based on what you know, but it is based on the covenant, based on where God has planted you, because of the history that lies behind the place where he has planted you. Am I speaking to somebody this morning? Oh my goodness. I'm not sure I can finish this message. Maybe we'll continue to next week. Let me try to. 5 minutes. Hallelujah. So the Bible says, he said that because Abraham, he said in verse 5, because Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my law. So that was one of the reasons why God was compelled. I'll use the word God was compelled. He was compelled to ensure that Isaac prospered. So, first thing, you don't follow tradition. Second thing, where he has planted you. And you notice that he was compelled, so he gave him instructions on what to do. And then the third thing, let's jump to Genesis 26, verse 12. It says that, then Isaac sowed in that land and reaped in the same year 100-fold, and God blessed him. The man began to prosper and continued prospering until he became very prosperous. I'm just going to focus on that sword. I don't know, maybe because if I start it, we'll be here for another. Let me. It says he sowed in that land. You see, in order to prosper, there are certain things you need to sow. Let's close here. We'll continue next week. Because if I start, I won't be able to finish it. We'll close here. I'll continue next week. I'll teach you some of the things you need to sow. There are at least 3 things that I want to share with you that you need to sow. Because it says, it's sowed in that land. You see, if he had stayed in that land and did not sow, he wouldn't have prospered. So he could have gotten to the land and just stayed there. He could have gotten to the land where it was meant to be planted and just stayed there. But the Bible says that he sowed in that land. The sowing makes a difference to your prospering. Now, let me just change your thinking, because a lot of people, the minute they hear so, they think that you want to take their money. It's not about your money. Money is part of it, but it's not about it. But the truth is, by his grace, God doesn't need your money. Whenever they say so, in terms of money, it is for you. But we'll come to that. We'll come to that. Let's close here. But it says he sowed in that land. Let's rise up and pray.